First time again, a very warm welcome to you. Thanks for coming. I want to welcome Ziggy's grandmother over there. We got to experience his grandfather a couple of weeks ago, so that's his grandmother over there. That's Louisa, right? Louisa. Thank you. My in-laws, who my son's over there now, are from Louisa County in America, in Virginia, Louisa County. So your name, you know, a county was named after you, not you after the county. Anyway, we're in Philippians chapter 2, and it's a great book. I hope you're enjoying the book of Philippians. And we're going to pick it up in verse 19. And Paul writes, he says, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interest, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope therefore to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it's necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him alone, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. You know, we're going to finishing off chapter 2, and you know, chapter 2 is a great chapter in the Bible. It's a great book in Philippians, but it's a great chapter in the Bible. You know, of course, it starts off, it says, you know, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if you share any of these things, then he says, make my joy complete. Then he says, our attitude should be that of Christ Jesus. And Paul reveals this theology about Jesus, that he, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. You know, and that's an interesting concept, and it kind of baffles people a little bit. The whole idea that basically, you know, Jesus was God in the flesh. And it is a conundrum in some sense when you think about that, because, you know, he was praying, you know, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? You know, he says, I and the Father are one. There's all this kind of parallel that flicks, but it says, but in being very nature, God didn't even consider equality with God something to be grasped. It's interesting for me because as humans, we think of ourselves some things and we're not even close to it and we think we are. You know what I mean? We think we're something we're actually not. But Jesus was actually something, God in flesh, and didn't consider it. Didn't even entertain the idea. And you know, all the glory, you know, Colossians talks about all the glory, all the deity of God lived in Christ. So in some sense, when you saw Jesus back then, and when we understand Jesus, it's understanding God. That's why God did what he did when he embodied flesh. So that now we could, there's no mystery anymore. Who is God? What is God? You know, people worshipping gods, people building idols. In Athens, they worshipped this unknown god. Just in case we missed one of the gods in heaven, let's put an altar to an unknown god. No, we could know for sure that here he is. That's what Jesus did. Says he took on human likeness. I don't know. You know, for us, I know we look in the mirror and we think we're something special. We go, oh, that's a good-looking bloke. Igor's giving the affirmation here, nodding, yep. That's what he does. But, you know, God takes on flesh. That was not an upgrade, okay? We like the upgrades. When Jesus did that, it wasn't an upgrade. Took on flesh. Then Pete did a great lesson last week about shine like stars. What a great image. shining like stars in the universe, that we shine like a star. And stars are wonderful to look at as we look in the sky. You know, if you've ever gone out in the bush, I mean, the city, you can't see the array. But if you go out into the bush and it's total black and you look up in the sky, it's amazing. The universe lights up. It's like a light show that you can just stare at. And if you're lucky enough, you'll see a shooting star fly across the universe. And it's an amazing thing. The Bible says we shine like stars. You know what? And I think as far as God's concerned, we shine brighter than those stars. And we can shine brighter than any star. And there's lots of things that happen to our lives and our troubles and our worries and our cares. The Bible says whatever's going on, no matter what's going on, we can always still shine. And that's an upward call, I think, for all of us at times. Regardless of what's going on, because that's the challenge of that verse. It's not shining when things are good. That's easy to do, to be happy when things are good. When you're feeling great, that's easy to do. The challenge is to shine when things aren't so good, when things aren't so great. You know, there's a couple who aren't here today, their son started studying the Bible. His name's Nathaniel. Parents started coming to church, and we studied the Bible with him, and, you know, I noticed they weren't here today because we normally study with them after church. June sent me a text and said, oh, by the way, they're not going to be here today because a four-wheel drive crashed into their house. And I thought that's crazy. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're fine. I asked, I said, are they okay? They said, yeah, they're okay. But I thought, well, there's probably a reason not to be at church, I guess. You know, a four-wheel drive comes crashing through your house on a Sunday morning just before you're ready to go to church. Would you still shine? I like to think so, right? No matter what's going on. But we can shine no matter what. So this brings us back to our text. The title of my sermon today is The Help. The Help. I don't know if you've seen the movie. Yeah. The Help. Great movie. I don't often say this, but you know, it was such a good movie, I wanted to go on. I just wanted to keep living what was going on. And it's a great movie. It's set in the 60s. It's about African-American women who were maids to white Americans. And it goes on. It's a lot about that. Even though I did hear some criticism that some people thought it focused too much on the owners or the white Americans versus the maids who were serving. But it's a great movie about the humility of these women and the way they served and what they went through, even though how they were treated. You know, today as we look at this text, you know, and this is a lot about what Timothy was, and you know, Paul says about Timothy, you know, to say Timothy wasn't a great help to Paul is a bit of an understatement. You know, he says, I want to send Timothy to you so that you may be cheered when I receive news about you. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Verse 21, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Paul, when you think about Timothy, you think, he must have been this great guy. I mean, Timothy was no stranger in some sense. He led the church in Ephesus for a while. When Paul had to go off, he would have led the church in Corinth for a bit. You know, two books in the Bible, 1st and 2nd Timothy, are devoted to him. Paul wrote letters to him. So Timothy was this amazing character. And Paul says, I've got no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. And you would have think, gee, what an amazing guy. If you would have met Timothy, there must be something super special about this guy. And yet, at the end of the day, what was so special about Timothy? What was so special about Timothy? Well, he simply cared. He simply cared. Paul said that I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Even 2,000 years ago, people really caring was a rare commodity. You know, it was rare even in Paul's day that people really, genuinely cared. And I hate to say it, if you're anything like me, you're probably a little bit cynical to think, yeah, do people really care today? Right? Do people really care? Do you really care? Do I really care? Is it really genuine? Are we here just to, you know, to tick a box? I often say this. We're just ticking a box here today. Need to go to church. I became a disciple. I made this pledge to Jesus. Here I am ticking a box. But really, at the end of the day, really all we're about is really us. And that's the big issue, isn't it? The big issue that Paul's, I think, talking about here is the reason why Paul can look, Timothy takes a genuine interest, because he says not everybody does. Most people look after their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. So as we talk about the help, I've got two quick points this morning. Two quick points. First point is out of the centre. Out of the centre. What do I mean by that? Well, I'm going to show a little slide. I've done this. This has kind of featured a fair bit lately. But I did it for we're doing Guard the Gospel on Wednesday nights. I did it for Seeking God. It's something what I call the wheels of life. There we go. The wheels of life. When I do Seeking God with people, I generally draw this. I don't do this because it's too professional. So I generally just draw these wheels, and I say the wheels are our lives, and the centre is who's generally in the centre of our lives, and the spokes are things that make up our lives. And so as you can see there, you know, the outer wheel. And I think most people, if you look at the bottom diagram simply says it's us. And I think for most people, that's what it is. And so things that make up our lives, family, hobbies, friends, pleasure, career, sport. And I dare say in some people's lives, even God and church is just simply a spoke. But at the end of the day, you know, their lives revolve around us. And so the decisions we make when it comes to us, it depends on us, how we're feeling. So if the most important thing to you is your career, as an example, then your decisions you make will be surrounded about that, the career. And so if your family's suffering, if you're, you know, your friends, you know, you're not seeing your friends as much, but if your career is what it's all about, then that's the decision you'll make. And I believe honestly, so when I do Seeking God with people, I believe honestly at the end of the day, God needs to be in the middle. And there's a reason for that, so that our lives revolve around God, then now we're taking our direction from God. So, you know, I don't allow my career to get ahead of me so that my children suffer or my wife suffers, because that's not the most important thing to me. But I think for a lot of people, the way we live is we put us in the middle. And life now revolves around us and the decisions we make. So as soon as anything gets in the way, well, we make a decision based on us, how we feel, what we think. And not God. And I think the challenge for what Paul's talking about here, because I think, what does it mean? You know, what was it about Timothy? Well, I think what the Bible teaches is you take yourself out of the center. We take ourselves out of the center, because whether you like it or not, the battle we have in life is our flesh. Our sinful nature is always trying to drag us into the center. Right, that's the challenge. That's the thing, to not think about us. How much do you think about you? And it's not to say you never think about you, but how much do we think about us? If you think about it, a lot of it is we're always being dragged into the middle. What's best for us? How am I feeling? What I'm thinking? Da 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 da. You've seen that enough. I'll take this off now. And I think that's the challenge. You know, good help is hard to find. Good help is hard to find. And I think that's what Paul said in Timothy. He said, man, when he saw Timothy, he said, man, I don't know how Silas, Barnabas, all these other guys felt when they would have read this, if they ever got a chance to read this. Titus, these were all Paul's companions. And Paul says, I've got no one else like him. Gee, you want to start a little feud, a little bit of a, you know, jealousy war, you just did. But nonetheless, he gave credit where credit was due. You know, there's an old saying, people don't care what you know until they know that you care. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. And as I said before, do we really care? Self is always going to be our biggest issue and our biggest obstacle. That's why Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if a man come after him, he must deny himself. Why is it put first? When I do discipleship, when I study the Bible, what a true disciple is, I say, you know, why does he say deny yourself first? because that's the biggest issue. Self. The thing that's going to stop all of us from putting God first and his will for our lives is self. The thing that's going to stop us from getting the job done, to preaching the word, is self. Your biggest obstacle to you in life is you. And that may be a hard pill to swallow, but it's true. It's true. The more we can take self out of the center and start putting God in the center, his interest, and we'll talk about that, then I believe the better off we are. You know, there's so much work to do, church. So much work to do. You know, just going back to the 30th anniversary service. You know, it was a great service. It was an awesome service. Look what we did by just putting our hand to the plow and say, let's invite some people. Let's put on our hearts to bring people along. Nearly 700 people were there. Nearly 700. All because we just simply, I think, started maybe, okay, let me focus on this a little bit. Which tells me, what have we been focusing on? If it took a little bit of a concerted effort, what if we decided to hire a hall? Paul is looking now, I know, anyway. What if we decided to hire a hall for 1,000? We had to bring in neighbor and I say, okay, let's try and fill 1,000. Can we do that? What's the limit? You know, God had a victory that day. And we need many more like it. There's so much to do, so much to fight for. Are we prepared to do that? You know, just during the week, there was a demonstration in the city. Some young people got together, a few thousand I heard. And what did they do? They were protesting against climate change. They were protesting against climate change. So all these campus people, I'm sure, and high school kids, and they took off school, whatever they did, and they decided, you know, the future's in our hands, because they're thinking, you know, you guys are destroying the world, no care for us, and we've got to live in this for the next 50, 60, 70 years. And who knows what's going to happen? And what about the next generation? But they're thinking about it, and they say, you know, we want change. We want change. This can't be this way. And they're fighting for it. And good on them. And they're saying, you know what, we're going to keep doing this, and that's fine. I mean, it's not my personal battle. But I think there's something, for me, greater to fight for, that I want to fight for. Because I don't know how many years I've got left, Lord willing. But I'm in the home straight, as far as I'm concerned. I am. I'm turning the corner. This is Flemington Park. This is the Melbourne Cup. I'm rounding into the home straight. Okay, 20, 30, 40. It doesn't matter to me. It really doesn't. And I was thinking about this, you know, our two youngest in the church, you know who they are? Our two youngest in the church, you know who they are? Paloma and Marco. They're the two youngest. There's Paloma. Marco's having a week off, had to watch a bit of TV. I had a late night last night. No, he didn't. He's not well. You know, for me, that's what this is about. For me, what are we leaving them? 20, 30 years time. How much do I care about them? Do I have them in my mind? When I live for Christ, when I'm thinking about what I'm doing, is it them? Do I'm thinking about, man, what church is Paloma going to live up into? What's Marco going to be in? And there's Holly there. And there's so many of them. And there's the Skatchkovich girls. What are they going to have? Isn't this what it's about? It's so easy to get in our own worlds. We're trying to, you know, let me just get myself there. Let me get myself there. No, it's not about getting myself there. It's about getting everybody else there. That's what I live for. I'm not living for myself. This is not about me. It's never been about me. And it's never been about you. But we make it about us. And Paul said to Timothy, he said, you know, I've got no one else. This guy really cares for your welfare more than anybody else. And so the question must be asked, how are we living? Do we really care? Or are we consumed by our own lives and what we're doing? Because that's not what it's about. And we have to keep beating this because we're thick and we're proud and we're arrogant and we're obstinate. I am. I need to keep beating myself. I've got to get out of my own world. and start putting others in. You know, being a disciple, that circle, if that's your life, the bigger the circle, the more people you can get in. Unfortunately, our circles get a little bit small at the end of the day. You know, what does genuine interest look like? What does it look like? Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. I'm a bit passionate about this, because I think it's what it's all about. It's taken me too long to get there. Hebrews 10:32, he says, remember those earlier days after you had received the light. So, okay, so we're talking about disciples, okay? So there's no question there. We are talking about disciples. Remember those earlier days after you'd received the light, when you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times you stood by side with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he was, pardon me, what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. Should be an amen at the end of that, so I'll just say it. Amen. That's the way it needs to be. That's the way it needs to be. You know, what does it look like? Turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. It says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We'll just stop there. You know, they're great verses. In Hebrews 2, it gives you some insight that you know, people were publicly, you know, insulted, exposed to being insulted. And he says, you stood by side with those who were so treated. You know, you just didn't stand there and watch, he says. You stood side by side. You know, when people are in prison, it's almost like they even went to prison for people or went with them to prison. There was not this sense of there's me and there's you. No, I really care. Your burden, your trouble is my trouble. Your suffering is my suffering. Whatever you're going through, I feel that. And that's what it looks like. And I think when we think about genuine interest, it's not about that. It's finding out. It's investing. It's empathy. You know, I always say everybody has a journey. Everybody has hurt. Everybody has history. Everybody feels misunderstood. And sometimes it's justified and sometimes it's not. But you know what? People, everybody needs someone who's going to go in and say, let me hear what you have to say. You know, I love people. I love listening to people. I love hearing people what their situation is. And I hope it helps them, but I know it heals me in the process. And that's the beauty about the opportunity we have. Sometimes the solution to our problems are trying to help somebody else. And you don't do it for that reason. It's just a byproduct of when you do it, when you genuinely care. You know, everybody has this. You know, Paul says here, you know, to the Galatians, says, bear each other's burdens. You know, what's that? The word's baros, which means troubles. You can imagine, yes, troubles and worries. He says, learn to bear those things. Learn to find out. Think about people. It's too easy to think about people when they're in front of you. But how often do we think about people when they're not in front of us? It's very easy to think about people when they're there. We say, oh, there he is. Oh, how are you going? 2 weeks later. How is it now? Oh, yes. What about when they're not in front of you? We've got people like this in our lives. We can't deal with everybody. But it's everybody doing their bit, genuinely caring. Hey, man, I'm praying for you. I send you a text. I mean, that's the great thing about technology now, right? Use it for that. Hey, I'm praying for you this morning. Hey, bro, how's it going? Give him a call. Hey, I was thinking about you today. That's what we all need, isn't it? That's what this is about. And then as we reach out to people, that's what they need. But again, well, I'll wait till I see him on Wednesday, I'll wait till on Sunday or whatever. That's not what this is about. I think I shared this song on a midweek, I think, or at church on Sunday. It's a great song. I think he sings it. He ain't heavy, he's my brother. It's a good song. It's a great song. It's an old song, but it's a good song. It just says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. You know, it doesn't matter, I'll carry him. It has these images of war, you know, when guys would carry the wounded. He says, he ain't heavy, he's my brother. He's my brother. You know, I appreciate, lots of people I appreciate. I appreciate Mark Timlin. He's not here, he's in Papua New Guinea. I realise, feel like Mark's a guy who genuinely cares for people. They both do. I think we've all experienced that. And there are a lot of people in this room the same. That's what we need. Genuinely care. And I want to challenge you today and encourage you to really think about how much do you really care? Am I saying you don't care at all? No, but do you genuinely care? Take an interest in others above yourselves, which is what Philippians 2 talks about. Let's go back to Philippians and finish off with the last point. So the second point is the interests of Jesus. The interests of Jesus. So verse 21, it just simply says, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. And I thought about this. You know, what does it mean when he says the interests of Jesus? You know, what is the interest of Jesus? What is on Jesus' heart? We're talking about the interests of Jesus. You know, Luke 16:10 says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I think that's at the core of the interest of Jesus, right? For everybody to get a chance. Everybody to have an understanding. Everybody to get this chance. To know the gospel. To know Jesus. To know his love. That if we understand we have this love, we understand what Christ offers, that his interest is that we now pass this on. That we share this very love and this very thing that Christ gave us. But like everything, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to care. And so the interest of Jesus to me is like, well, doing it the way Jesus would do it. If we're going to be like Christ, if it's going to be the interest of Christ, we have to do it the way Jesus did it. We're not scared to help. You know, at times, I don't know, why don't we help? I think it can be scary to help. It can be scary to get involved. It can be challenging. It's draining to care. You've got to put yourself out there. You never know what's going to happen. And for a lot of us, we start to really care and it bites us, right? We've experienced that. That makes us gun shy. Some of us, we stop caring because the more we care, it doesn't come back the same way. People don't seem to care. So then it affects you. You don't care as well. So it puts us into this shell. But that wasn't Christ. The interest of Christ is to say, you know what? I'm going to care and I'm going to keep caring regardless of what happens or doesn't happen. You know, it's a great story in the Bible in Mark chapter 5 about the demon-possessed man. We don't have any time for this. It's a sermon within itself. But this guy's demon-possessed. People can't hold him. They can't hold him back. He breaks chains. He's a scary fella. He's a scary fella. No one wants, they put him up in the tombs. But Jesus was prepared to go to him. You know, there was this one time I was with a brother. And we're in Southern Cross Station. There's a mall there in Southern Cross Station. Up, you know, the escalators up, you know, there's a set of escalators, there's an upstairs mall. And we're in there. And I was getting with his brother. And then I saw this guy walk in. He looked like someone had some issues for sure. And after a while, I started hearing this, "My chicken!" And this is not over-dramatizing. Trust me when I do this. I'm going to do this as we heard it. "My chicken!" At first, I couldn't hear what he was saying. "My chicken! Chicken!" And he was walking around that little mall. It's not a very big food court. He was walking around. "My chicken!" And he kept doing it a bit. Walked past us once. And by this stage, I was watching people and some women starting to get very nervous because it was obvious something was not right here. And what had obviously had happened, I think he had bought a plate of chicken, put it on a table and walked away, I think to get a drink or something, but walked away and left it. And then I think the maids, who just didn't, thought someone had just picked it up and just tossed it. So he paid for this chicken. And obviously he definitely had emotional issues, there's no question about that. But it went on for a bit. And I thought, oh, you know what, the security guards will come, they'll sort it out. I wasn't too bothered, but there were some women definitely looking very nervous about what was going to happen. They didn't know what it was going to escalate into. Anyway, he came around again. It was near where you come in from the doors. And this guy had walked in. And he heard this guy go, "Chicken!" And it was really intense. Like, it filled the whole mall, the whole food court area. And this guy who had just walked in saw the guy and stopped him straight and said, "What's the matter, mate? Stop this. Hey, what's the matter?" He said, my chicken. He said, "What? Tell me. So he took him off, sat him down, and he found out what would happen. And he went to the Chinese restaurant, whatever it was, and bought him a plate of chicken. In the meantime, the security guards had come. The security guards finally came, sat him down. The guy ate his chicken. He walked out, and that was it. It was a lesson to me. It was, for starters, I thought, why didn't I do something? But it was a lesson for me about how we judge situations. It was a lesson for me. There was a food court full of people. It was full. And the guy who helped him was the guy who had just walked in. Just literally walked in. So I saw what happened in front of my eyes. Soon as he saw this guy, him screaming out, "My chicken!" He said, "What's the matter, mate? What's wrong?" Guy explained, sat him down, bought the food for him. He sat down, he ate quietly, and left quietly. It was amazing to see. We're scared. We're scared to help. People seem out of control. Too difficult. Nobody went nowhere near this guy. Nowhere near him. I didn't. I was embarrassed. I told the brother, I said, "This is ridiculous." You know, if you look at the demon-possessed man, it never said he hurt anybody. Never said he was violent to anybody. Doesn't say that. We think that. We demon-possessed man, when we read that in the text, I think somehow we think, "Oh yeah, I couldn't go near him because he might hurt me." He was a danger to himself more than anything else. And the truth is, most of us are. And everybody is. And it takes somebody to get in there and say, "What's going on? What's going on? What do you need? Let's sit down." It was amazing. I wish I could take you back there and show you the video. If I videoed it, I wouldn't have, obviously. To see how this guy, he sat him down, he ate his chicken, and he just walked out. For that particular moment, problem solved. Obviously, there's bigger issues, yes. But it just took somebody to really care. And I think we have to think about our lives. And that's the thing for me. I don't want to be in a situation, I don't want to be a church, I don't want us to be a church that we come here on a Sunday, we tick our little boxes, we somehow feel good about ourselves and go off and just, but it's all about us. It cannot be that. I will not allow it to be that. I will fight to the end. You will hear me. I will beat this thing. Until we understand, if we're going to be true disciples of Christ, that our minds and our hearts are not on us, that our hearts and our minds are on the interests of Christ. And what does He want? What's for Him? Because that's what this is all about. And I think that's what Timothy was for Paul. Let's have that heart today. Let's really care and have the interests of Christ centered firmly in our hearts and be a light to this nation and to many around us. To God be the glory. Let's all stand and sing one final song.